Okay, so this morning, if you would take your Bibles to James chapter number 2, James chapter number 2, if you're here today and you don't have, if you don't have a Bible, go ahead and lift up your hand, and our ushers are getting Bibles for you. So if you don't have a Bible, lift up your hand today. If you don't have a Bible, this is our gift to you. Go ahead and take it home. If you just forgot your Bible today, please feel free, just go ahead and set it back on the bookcase on the way out. We want to make sure that everybody's got a Bible. We'll start in James chapter 2 this morning and then go to a couple of the scriptures before we close today. So this morning we're concluding the Do You Believe series, and grateful for the weeks that we've had together to share in this experience, starting with showing the film and having Liam with us at the beginning of last month, and now, you know, unpacking some of the teaching and truth related to what it means to put our faith into action. And it really just goes to the heartbeat of what we hope this ministry will be about, and that will be living our faith and demonstrating our faith and impacting people, and not just, you know, getting together on Sundays, you know, for a great service, although we want to get together and we want to have great services, but we want to make sure that the ministry always extends outside of these walls. And so we're grateful for the chance we've had to go through this. Next week, as Brian alluded to earlier, is Be the Church Sunday. And so this is an opportunity that is, at least for now, a biannual event. We did it in March. We're doing it here in November. And this gives us an opportunity to very literally put this series and put this truth into practice as we literally cancel our church service to go out into the community to do various projects around our community, whether it's homeless outreach, nursing home service, school projects, different, you know, park cleanup, things of that nature. And so I want to encourage you to come and be here next week. There's a place you can sign up on your connection card. A lot of people have missed that, and that's perfectly fine. And we've got Facebook event, and if you come next week, there'll be plenty of opportunities. So don't feel like, I didn't sign up for anything, I can't get involved. There's going to be a spot for everybody. And so next week, we're going to gather at 10 o'clock. So it'll be a 10 o'clock service, or 10 o'clock gathering time. We'll get together, we'll have prayer, we'll make sure everybody's got an assignment, and then, you know, off we go out into the community. So it's not a Sunday where we come to church, it's a Sunday that we be the church. And so we're looking forward to it, and I wanted to just give us an opportunity this morning because we, number one, it'd be an encouragement to those of us that were around in March, but number two, we have so many new people in the church, and I know there have been some questions about, you know, what does this Be the Church Sunday even about? So I thought we would show the recap video from last March, so you can kind of get a sense of what that was like, and for those of us that were there, might, you know, just give us a sense of encouragement for that time that we shared together, kind of bring us back, you know, to that moment. And as I was looking at the video again this week, the biggest thing that struck me was the fact that we met here, we gathered here before we moved into the building. And for those of us that walked that journey, know it was a long process to finally get to this place. But because I knew the owner of the furniture store, the office furniture store, I said, could we please just come and just use this as our gathering point? We're so excited about this new building. It's taken forever. But we please let us gather. So he was gracious enough to allow us to do that. So you'll notice, you know, the green and the orange, and there's the big wall was still there because that was showroom and this was warehouse back here. And so there was office furniture every place and people were sitting in office chairs, and it was really kind of comical, but just a great reminder of the wonderful things that God has done in the past month. So let's go ahead and take a look at that video, and let's get excited for next week. Be the Church Sunday, 10 o'clock. We'll meet here, and then we'll go out and just love on people, be the hands and feet of Jesus. Check it out. Amen. Amen. All right. So that's next Sunday. So next Sunday, Be the Church Sunday. Again, gather at 10, and there'll be, like I said, plenty of opportunities, plenty of projects you can choose from. Definitely be checking out our Facebook page this week, and if you're on our email list, and if you're not on our email list, let somebody know about that, put that on your connection card, and we'll be getting lots of updates this week as we look forward to next Sunday. You may be asking, like, what's the deal with the red shirts? Like, I don't have a red shirt. We're going to have more red shirts here next week for you, and so just going to be a great, great Sunday, and hope that you'll be able to join and be with us that particular day. And it really just, again, just hopefully demonstrates the kind of church we want to be, and that's one that doesn't just meet inside these walls, but extends beyond these walls to a community in need, and we're very excited about that. Amen. Amen. Okay, so today, as we wrap up our Do You Believe series, as I mentioned in my weekly email, not so much a message maybe as an exclamation point. Just really want to drive home a couple of quick things before we leave today as we think about this whole matter of what it means to be putting our faith into action. It's more than just what we believe. It's more than what we just know. It's impacting other people. It's impacting neighbors, impacting our families, impacting other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what does that look like? And what does that mean? And so we've had a wonderful time these last several weeks going through some of these principles. So just a quick recap of where we've been. The very first week, we talked about increasing our awareness, and we talked about both being aware of where we are spiritually. Where are you with God? Where is your heart? Where are you? Where's your standing? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Are you walking in obedience to Him? Have you submitted yourself to His authority? You know, kind of what's going on with you spiritually, and then expanding out beyond, you know, what's happening around you. Are you aware of the needs around you in your own home, in your family, you know, at your job, wherever God has placed you? How aware are you of what's going on? Jesus, He looked on the crowds, He had compassion, and then He acted on that compassion, and so that's what we need to do. Taking up our cross, we spent some time unpacking that and just the reality of you know, we never want to be offensive in our approach to our faith, but we recognize that the cross can be an offense to people. And so making sure that we're understanding what it means to take up our cross and follow Him. That's what Jesus said, to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Him. And so we carry that cross. We take up His cross. We say we're going to do it, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's when circumstances are against me, even when the culture's against me. We're going to do what we can to follow Jesus and make an impact in this world. Then last week we looked at making tough choices and went back to the Old Testament and looked at the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and just a great story there, and Elijah really challenges them about how long they're going to limp between two different opinions. If Baal is God, then worship him, but if the Lord God is God, then worship him. And they have this great demonstration of which God is the true God. He demonstrates His great power and authority, and the people follow after Him. But one of the things that was most remarkable to me, and one of the things we shared in that message, was the repairing of the altar. You know, when Elijah went before God, he repaired the altar that had been broken down. And we talked a lot about, you know, the altar of our heart and the different stones that need to be maybe rebuilt back up in our lives, because we've allowed those things to wane. We've allowed those things to go by the wayside, and we don't have some of the same fervor and the same desire and even the same understanding. And when we find ourselves confronted with tough choices, we oftentimes are paralyzed because the altar of our heart is broken down. And so some really points that we shared last week. And then today, embracing the gift of grace. And just excited about the message this morning and looking forward to unpacking a little bit of what this means. So as we open the message time, and as we think about this final message in this series, we've taken time each week to show a small clip from the movie Do You Believe, which we showed again about a month ago. If you haven't seen it, certainly would encourage you to check it out. This clip this morning is a little spoiler-ish, and so my apologies for those who haven't seen it yet, but this is the conversation with Pretty Boy, who turns his life over to Jesus, gets saved, and now the conversation that he has with his brother Sean, or better known as Criminal, about his need for salvation, his need for forgiveness, and the interaction that they have with one another. Check this clip out. Powerful scene and a powerful reminder of, you know, PB came face to face with, he had a radical encounter with the grace of God. And that radical encounter he had with the grace of God then caused him to want to go forth and go forward to impact, in this case, his brother with the gospel. And so one of the questions that we're asking ourselves today is what it means to what motivates us? What motivates us to do what God would have us do? What motivates us? There are lots of things in this world that motivate us and drive us to different things. What are some of those motivations? Well, one of them is fear. Fear can sometimes motivate us. If we don't do this, then this will happen. And so because we don't want this to happen, we take precautions to make sure that that doesn't happen by following through with that. So my wife this week, she went down to the DMV, and paid my tags, you know, so I had my registration renewed, so I've got a nice new red sticker to put on my license plate, and I did that because I just love the state of California. I love the DMV, and I'm honored to pay a fee so that I can drive my own car in the state. I'm happy to do that. I'm just a little bitter about that, okay? But why do we do that? Why do we follow laws? Well, because if we don't have the right color sticker on the back of our car, we're constantly going to be, you know, we're going to be waiting to get pulled over. So there's some things we do out of fear. Now, that's not a terrible motivator. There are a lot of pain and a lot of things that we're kept from because we're fearful of consequences. But if our entire life is wrapped up in making choices based on the fact that we're afraid, then that's a difficult road to go down. How about pressure? Sometimes we, you know, that becomes a motivator for us. And not just in a negative sense. We oftentimes think of pressure in a negative sense, you know, peer pressure and doing things that are negative, doing things that are not good for us, not healthy for us. But even positive peer pressure. That's what I grew up in my youth group. My youth pastor used to always talk about, you know, positive peer pressure. So we were always trying to encourage each other, you know, to do things and to motivate each other because conformity to the group was something that was often a positive thing. You know, some you may have experience with, you know, AA or Celebrate Recovery or those kinds of programs where that group conformity toward positive impact and positive movement can oftentimes be a very powerful and useful thing. But if that becomes the sole basis by which we do things, if that becomes the sole motivator, we're going to be sorely lacking in our understanding. Probably one of the biggest things that we face as it relates to motivators that are we should not embrace, and that is honestly just selfishness. There are a lot of times we'll do certain things, we'll act in a certain way, not because we want to or not because it's the right thing to do, but because of what we're going to get out of it, right? We're going to act a certain way, we're going to talk a certain way, we're going to behave a certain way because in the end, it's going to benefit me. It's not that it's benefiting, you know, the other person. So I'll do things around the house like, you know, doing the dishes or doing, this is hypothetical, doing the dishes, doing the laundry, changing the toilet paper roll, which I did do this morning, so she was really happy with me about that. You know, but sometimes, you know, guys, we'll do things like that around the house, not because we love our wives and not because we're trying to be helpful around the house, but we're hoping maybe there might be a little something in it for us later on, if you know what I'm talking about, okay? We'll keep it PG, that's all we'll say. But maybe it's a dessert or whatever it's going to be, you know? Like, hey, I'm doing this for this reason, hoping I'm going to get this result, and the reality is we're just manipulating the situation, okay? That is not the way to motivate ourselves to do the things that God wants us to do, okay? Because it could even seep into our faith. So I've said from the beginning, you know, how I this is a message that I've been looking forward to, thought about starting with this, but was ultimately led to end with this. Because it's so important that we understand that the impact we're trying to make, you know, putting our faith into action, it is not to seek the approval of God. It is not so that God will be more happy with us. It's not so that God will love us more. We do these things. We seek to impact. We seek to put our faith into action. Why? Because we have the approval of God. Not to earn the approval of God, but because we have the approval of God. And so it's very important that we have the order in our life in the right place. Because if it comes from a heart of fear or pressure or selfishness or whatever, it's not going to be the right kind of motivator for us. And so we want to talk about that a little bit today. So putting our faith into action requires embracing the gift of grace. Embrace the gift of grace. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So, I've got a little illustration here that I want to use, and I realize not everybody will see this with the, you know, some of the stuff that's on the stage. But the stool with the Operation Christmas Child boxes, this represents your good works, okay? This represents putting your faith into action. This represents a life of impact. And so basically what we want to do is we want to ask ourselves the question, what drives us to this? Okay, if we acknowledge this morning, as we have through this series, if we acknowledge this morning that this is important, this is valuable, we need to be impacting people, we need to be putting our faith into action, what drives us to do that? Okay? So number one, what drives us to a life of impact? What drives us to that point? What motivates you? What should motivate me to engage in that kind of a life? Okay, turn with me to Ephesians chapter number one. Ephesians chapter number one. And it's page 836 if you've got one of those adventure Bibles. And lots of texts I could have turned to, but this is one that God led me to and I think just really greatly illustrates, encapsulates, I should say, the great truth about our relationship with God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, we read these words. In him, Jesus, we have redemption through his, Jesus' blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. So what drives us to want to have a life of impact? What drives us to wanting to put our faith into action? What motivates you? What drives you? Let me give you a couple things to think about based on this verse. Number one, we are redeemed. We are redeemed. We have been bought back. We are a part of the family of God. You know, Jesus Christ came to this world some 2,000 years ago, and he taught amazing things. And he healed in amazing ways, and he performed amazing miracles. And everywhere he went, the Bible says he did good. And he had a tremendous ministry. But Jesus did not come to be a teacher. Jesus did not come to be a healer. Jesus did not come for any reason other than he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came for us. He came for me. He came for you. He came to die upon the cross for our sins so that with the purchase of his own blood, he redeemed us from our place of sin. We were bought back. We were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, redemption is something that we're familiar with in a real everyday kind of sense. You know, if you've got a coupon or you've got something in your life, you have to redeem. You have to take it to the store. It needs to be redeemed. It's absolutely worthless unless you take it and are redeemed. I've shared my story a couple different times because it's a cool story and I love to share it, that I was one of the first 80 people at Buffalo Wild Wings that earned free wings for an entire year. And so as part of that, you know, as part of that, I was number 21 in line. And so as part of that, I got a coupon book. I got 52 coupons. And so every coupon entitles me to a free snack size order of wings. No other purchase necessary. I can just walk in, boom. You know, I'm here for my wings. I don't have to buy a drink. Don't have to do anything. I just have to eat it there. I can't take it to go. That's the one stipulation, okay? This is the coupon for October 25th to October 31st. I missed a week of my free wing. And you can see I'm really suffering. You know, I'm really suffering for it up here. But man, what a week. So that was Halloween week. So we had, you know, we had our small group on Tuesday. And, you know, Kayla had a game on Monday, a small group on Tuesday. We had our fall festival on Wednesday. We did the rest training over here on Thursday. We had another fall festival for the migrant farm workers here on Friday. And then, of course, Saturday was Halloween. So every, you know, I couldn't, this is, it's worthless. It's worthless. And yes, I should have given it to, I got that, Pastor Greg, you should have given it to somebody. Yes, I should have given it to somebody, and I didn't think of that at the time because I just was so busy. And you know I was busy if I didn't take up my free coupon of stack-sized wings, okay? But what's the point? The point is, unless you redeem it, it's not good for anything. It's worthless. And Jesus came to redeem us. Jesus came to buy us back. Jesus came and said, here's my life, here it is. Greg Manser, he's mine. How awesome is that? That you have been brought into the family of God, not because of anything that you've done, not any works, not any righteousness, not any good deeds, but by his mercy and his grace, he has saved you when you've accepted him into your life. Jesus has paid for you. You have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Man, that is a motivator. That is something that should drive us to being a person who is trying to live a life of impact and putting their faith in action. So we're redeemed. Number two, we're forgiven. We're forgiven. All of our sin. All of our sin. All the sins that we've committed in our past life in our past. All the sins that we currently struggle with and sometimes fall to, and every sin we're ever going to commit, All of them are under the blood of Jesus. How amazing is that? Everything that we've ever done, everything that we're doing, everything that we will do, we are completely forgiven. Now, let me ask this question. I'm, you know, not no raise of hands here because I don't want to embarrass anybody. Anybody have trouble with forgiveness? Anybody have trouble forgiving other people? Anybody have difficulty letting go of an offense that has been caused to you? Yeah, every hand would be raised. Because some of us have been hurt so deeply and been wounded so significantly. God doesn't hold anything against us. We are completely forgiven. Completely forgiven. I love the illustration that was used with me when I was a young person. Someone came in with a globe, and the Bible talks about God removing our sins as far as the east is from the west, right? And he brought in a globe, and he was sharing about, you know, if you start going north on a globe, you eventually start going south, and then you go north again, then you go south, then you go north, then you go south. North eventually meets south. If you take that same globe and you start going east, you just keep going east. East never meets west. And you start going west. West never meets east. Our sins are as far removed as they possibly can be, and he remembers them no more. You are completely forgiven, completely covered by the blood of Jesus. And when God looks at me, he doesn't see me and my sinfulness. He sees the righteousness of Christ upon me. So I'm accepted into his family and accepted in relationship with him because I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's an incredible blessing. And because I have been redeemed and because I have been forgiven, it drives me to put my faith into action, to live a life that is impacting other people. I'm not doing it just because of fear. I'm not just doing it because of guilt. I'm not just doing it because of pressure. I'm not just doing it because that's what my parents want me to do. I'm not just doing it because that's what my pastor wants me to do. I'm not just doing it because of whatever. I'm doing it. Why? Because I'm a part of his family. I've been redeemed. I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus, and I'm forgiven. You're forgiven. You have Jesus here today. You have Jesus in you're completely forgiven. Don't let the devil continue to mess you up and beat you up over the things that you have struggled with and maybe even are continuing to struggle with. Live in victory. So we're redeemed, we're forgiven, and I want to touch on one more thing. We have power. We have power. In these verses, it talks about, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. He is powerful enough. He is strong enough. His grace is sufficient. We sing that song, right? His grace is enough. His grace is enough. And that power is demonstrated in his riches, and his power is then transferred then into our life. In Romans chapter number 6, if you want to look there, in Romans chapter number 6, there's a whole chapter that deals with this. Let me read just a few verses from Romans 6 that talk about the power that is available to us as a believer in Jesus Christ to live in victory. Starting in verse 5, we read these words. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, Jesus, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And so when we talk in terms of what we have been saved from, or what Jesus has, what impact Jesus' sacrifice and salvation has had upon us, we often speak of three things. We have been saved first from the penalty of sin. I have confidence in knowing that my sin's penalty, hell, destruction, damnation, all of those things have been covered and taken care of because Jesus died for me in my place. He took all that upon himself, and so when I accepted him as my Savior, That transaction that took place, he took my sin, I took his righteousness, and I'm no longer going to be held accountable for my sin. It's all under the blood. How cool is that? Okay, so the penalty of sin, and that's awesome. And so we can live in confidence that if I were to die today, I will be in heaven. I don't worry about the penalty of sin. The other thing that we talk about is we talk in terms of being saved from one day the presence of sin. That one day we're going to be with the Lord. We're going to be with the saints. We're going to have a new life. And, you know, there is a life beyond this one. And what does that look like? And how is God going to provide? And we're not going to struggle. We're not going to have the same struggles then that we do today. We're going to be our same selves and our same personalities and our same memories and our same backgrounds. It's going to be all of us except for the struggle of sin. How cool is that going to be? You guys are really going to like me then. You're really going to like me. There's going to be no sin there at all. You know, and those people that, you know, like, man, that burden drives me. You know, God's going to clean us all up. And we're going to live in a society and a culture with Jesus on the throne and our lives as we have them, living in community, living in fellowship, without any sin hampering us at all, dragging us down at all. We'll never have an evil thought. We'll never have a misguided notion. We'll never have something slip out of our mouths. We'll always make the right choice. Imagine what that's going to be like. How cool is that? That's what we have to look forward to. So we think in terms of the penalty of sin. I'm so glad I'm not going to hell. Woo! I'm glad I'm going to be in heaven someday. We think forward to, man, it's going to be awesome when I'm in heaven, and I don't have to worry about this body of this death that Paul talks about, things I want to do, I don't, things I don't want to do, I do, back and forth, up and down, roller coaster of life. I'm not going to have that anymore. But right here today, November 2015, we have power. We have power. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. We will be saved from the presence of sin. But even today, we're saved from the power of sin. Sin doesn't have a hold on you anymore. Sin does not have a hold on you. Now, look, we make our choices. We make some really bad, poor, dumb, stupid, fill in the blank, choices. But we don't have to make those choices. We can live in victory. We can live in power because the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, the same power that brought life into the corpse of Jesus Christ, is the same power that is available to you to put your faith into action and to impact other people. So what drives us to this? I've got to be here. I'm supposed to be putting my faith into action. I'm supposed to be living a life that impacts others. What drives me to this? What motivates me to this? Hey, you've been redeemed. You're in God's family. You're his child. You've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Don't let anybody tell you different. You're forgiven, past, present, future. And you have power. You have power, not your power, but the power of God working in you and working through your life because of his son. So what drives us to that life of impact? Now, I want to move beyond that, though, because there's another motivating factor. There's something else that drives us. We get to this point, but sometimes we fail to realize that there are others that are going to be impacted by the choices that we make. So here we are. We're here this morning. Okay, Pastor Greg, I need to be better motivated and better understand what it means to be motivated biblically to put my faith into action and live a life of impact. I also want you to consider springing forward, what that looks like, what that means in the life of someone else. And that's number two. What springs from a life of impact? Because here's the battle, okay? The battle is twofold. The battle is the devil doesn't want you putting your faith into action. The devil doesn't want you living a life of impact. So the devil will do what he can to either diminish this connection between where you are and where he wants you to be, or he'll try to subvert it in your mind and you'll have the wrong motivations. But he'll also try to diminish the impact that's going to happen over here as a result of your deciding to put your faith into action and live a life of impact with other people. So we all get cause and effect, right? We all get cause and effect. If this happens, then that's going to happen. If I do this, then this will take place. Funny story happened this week. Crazy circumstance. I've been at several sporting events and games and opportunities where there's some kind of crazy, amazing something. If you do something amazing, you get this awesome prize. And so consider the half-court shot. So you go to a basketball game and they do the half-court shot, and if you make the half-court shot, you're going to get this amazing prize. So this week there was this competition, there was this game, and they had the contest at halftime, and the guy made the half-court shot, and he won. Does anybody know the punchline of this? You hear it on the radio? A lifetime supply of tater tots. A life supply of tater tots. Tater tots for life for making a half-court shot. Now, look at me. I love tater tots. All right? I'm all for tater tots. Tater tots for life sounds really good to me. But if I make a half-court shot, I want a car. I want $1 million. I want something more than tater tots for life. Check this out.
Check this out. The house just went crazy as this fan came out, a half-court shot, and it goes! And guess what he wins? Tater tots for life!
Sonic tots for life from beyond midcourt. From way downtown. Bang!
I don't know that I would be that excited. I mean, I'm all for like tater tots, but tater tots for life after making a half-court shot, I'm not entirely sure what that's about. So we all get the cause and effect, right? But check this out. There is great value on the other side of your good works. There is great value, there is great impact on the other side of putting your faith into action and living a life that's going to impact other people. I've shared this before, I'll share it again. Every single person here who's a believer in Jesus Christ, and I don't presume that everybody here is. I totally get that. You know, in a crowd our size and the style of church we have several people that come and they're just kind of checking things out and they're not sure about the claims of Christ and, you know, not sure what we do at church and things of that nature. And we want you to feel completely welcome to be here. We're glad that you're here and we want you to keep coming, you know, and keep checking out what we believe as it relates to the person of Jesus Christ. But if you're here this morning and you know Jesus as your personal Savior, someone was a part of your story. God used someone that you can trace back spiritually in your life that brings you to where you are here today. Maybe it was your parents or grandparents. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was a youth pastor. Maybe it was a camp counselor. Maybe it was a VBS leader. God used somebody in your life to present to you the truth of the gospel, and you accepted it, and you began a life's journey with Jesus. Someone is a part of your story, and you, if you will be willing, can be a part of someone else's story. Think in a couple terms here. Because the devil, he totally wants to diminish that. He comes to you and he says, you're not anybody. Who do you think you are? Look at all these problems you have. Look at all these issues you have. Look at how many times you failed. Look at how many times you've let God down. Wah, 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 wah. And we totally buy into that. And we just say, you know, the devil's right. So I guess I'll just keep my mouth closed. I guess I'll just stop talking about Jesus. I guess I'll just start conforming to the world that's around me. The devil diminishes because he knows. He knows what God can do with a believer who starts saying, you know what? I'm going to put my faith into action. It's going to be more than just what I think. It's going to be more than what I just feel. I'm going to start living it out. I'm going to start impacting people. And that's going to spring into this. And the devil does not want that. The devil does not want that. He knows where that leads. So what are some things we should consider? Okay. Number one, just consider eternity, eternal life. Consider eternal life. Consider the fact that God could use you. God could use your putting your faith into action and determining to live a life of impact to bring someone to salvation and whose entire eternity might be turned upside down because of what God does through you. Think about that. Think about what can spring from a life of impact. Someone's eternity, someone's eternal soul, just like you were impacted in your life. There are people around you that are waiting to see if it's real. They're waiting to see if you're going to profess what you say you possess. What's one of the biggest things we struggle with in Christianity today? One of the biggest. Hypocrisy. People look at the church, they look at Christians, they look at us, and they say, you say one thing, you do another. They're waiting, they're looking for some genuine, heartfelt desire to serve and follow Christ. And you might be the person that God uses to impact that person's eternity. Who is going to be in heaven because of you? And I say that with the context that it's not about us, it's about Jesus. But what does the Bible say? It says, some plant, some water, God gives the increase. Where are you in that process with some? Are you planting? Are you watering? Are you sowing seed? Think about the great impact that can come from a life that's seeking to impact others. So there's eternal life and then there's abundant life. There's abundant life. John 10:10, this verse, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to steal from you and steal your joy. He wants to steal your rest. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your comfort. He wants to steal your assurance. He wants to steal all those things and kill and destroy. But Jesus, on the contrast, he says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life. An abundant life is not a life without pain. Abundant life is not a life without challenge. It is not a life without trial and temptation and circumstance. Life can be hard. Life can be difficult. But you know what, friends? Life is good. You know why? Because God is good. Life is good because God is good. And no matter what the circumstance we're facing in our relationships or with our finances or in our own personal struggles with temptation, whatever it might be, life is still good because God is good. And what has God given? God has given his word. He's given us this book. He's given us this book to encourage us and to help us and to challenge us and to strengthen us. If you're here today and you're struggling and you're down and you're discouraged by things, just start reading the Psalms. Just start reading the Psalms. Just, you know, go in the cave with David. And David's like, you know, pouring his heart out to God. Maybe that's where you are. He's given us his word. He's given us these stories that they're not just moral tales. They're there for our benefit and for our good to help understand better who God is and who we are and how we can relate to the circumstances of life. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. Think about that. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is living inside of you. Think about that. People had to go worship God. They had to go to the temple. That's where God was. You know, God isn't in this building. God is in you when you accept him as your Savior. You're indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God, and he's with you all the time to comfort you, to challenge you, to convict you, to encourage you. What a blessing that is. And we have the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God, and we have the people of God. We have the people of God. And how wonderful is it to walk the journey, the adventure of life with a brother or sister? Because life does come at us hard. Life can just kick us in the face. But you've got a friend, you've got a brother, you've got a sister in Jesus Christ. You've got a pastor, you've got a small group leader, you've got someone in your life that can walk that road with you. What a blessing that is. And there are people in your life, there are people in your sphere of influence, they're over here, and they need the Word, they need the Spirit, they need the people of God. And God is going to use you and your choice to put your faith into action, and springing from that is going to be the effect it has upon them. We've shared over the last several weeks since we moved to two services that every one of these empty chairs, because we have several empty chairs since we moved to two services, that every one of these empty chairs represents someone in your life who needs a church family. Every one of these empty chairs. Now, it's been a blessing because the chairs are getting fuller and fuller and fuller. That's awesome. We're excited about that. Thank you for inviting your friends. Thank you for letting people know about the church. Okay? But there's more work to be done. There are people in your life that are looking for the abundant life. Again, not a life free from trial, not a life free from temptation, not a life free from challenge. This is no, like, you know, get Jesus and everything is going to be perfect in your life. Wrong. But you know what? You've got the Word of God, you've got the Spirit of God, you've got the people of God walking with you. And that's what people need. We have this wonderful story. We have this wonderful story. We have this amazing experience. We're redeemed, we're forgiven, we have power. This God can use this to impact others. And we treat it like it's tater tots for life. We treat it like it's just not that big of a deal. And what we have to do to bring us to this place of motivating and drive us is realize what God can do with someone who's going to say, I'm putting my faith into action. I'm going to live a life of impact. I'm going to have the right motivations for doing so. I'm going to have the right driving force in doing so because I know, and I may not see it all until eternity, but I know that from that is going to spring into somebody's life something amazing. Just like God used that pastor in my life, just like God used that Sunday school teacher in my life, just like God used that grandparent in my life, I'm going to be that person that God can use to impact those other people. So that's my challenge for you as we close up this series. Putting our faith into action requires embracing the gift of grace. It's not about seeking God's approval. It's not about living each day hoping that God is just going to be okay with you. God is already okay with you because he's okay with Jesus. And when you have Jesus, you have all you need. It's it. Done. It is finished. But friends, a world of people who need the love of Jesus, who need the touch of a believer to encourage them and to help them and challenge them and be there for them. What's motivating you to put your faith into action? What's motivating you to live a life of impact? Embrace the gift of grace. Embrace the gift of grace and let it spring forward into someone else's life, whose eternity and life even here on earth may be affected. Let's pray together. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around. Say, Pastor Greg, that's me today. Man, I needed this today. I struggle with having the right motivation. I struggle with having the right mindset as to why I'm putting my faith into action. And I want my life. I want the putting of my faith into action. I want that to become a springboard for someone else's journey with Jesus. But Pastor Greg, I fail, I mess up, I struggle, I battle temptation, I battle conflict at home, conflict on the job, conflict with my kids. I'm in a storm, and I need God's touch on my life today to put into practice what you shared this morning. If that's you, would you lift up your hand so that I could see it? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Dozens and dozens of hands, thank you. Father, I pray your blessing on my friends who lifted the hand today, who need a touch from you. We can't do any of this in our own strength. We can't do any of this in our own power. It's not about being strong. It's about being, it's accepting our weakness and realizing that there is power in weakness. There is strength in our weakness because it causes us to depend upon you more and more and more. So, Father, I pray for each one who lifted the hand. You know exactly what's going on in their life. You know exactly what they're struggling with. You know exactly what it is that that you're processing with them about as it relates to putting their faith into action, who those people are that you're laying upon their heart right now that they should be impacting. Lord, may they be doing it for the right reasons. Help them to embrace the gift of grace. They can do it. because they're forgiven. They can do it because they're redeemed. They can do it because you've given them power. Lord, give them victory day by day, moment by moment. Watch over each and every one. Father, continue to watch over our church. May we continue to be a place where our faith is challenged to be put into action in the context of grace. Father, keep us from legalism. Keep us from seeking after your approval. Help us to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ and impact this community with the gospel, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I want to thank you so much for being here today. And